Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for the week of April 11th, 2022. I'm your host, Zach James. We have Chris.
Hello.
And we got tons of things to jump into this week, but unfortunately, we have to kick things off with some sad news. We lost a comedy legend this week. Gilbert Gottfried passed away at age 67.
Yeah. A very reclusive man who just kind of just went passing.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there was like specifics. I think it's just like there was like on kind of social media, like his social media and stuff. There was like a post, like he was like apparently had some sort of like he's been battling some sort of illness for a while. So,
well, he has like a heart valve problem.
Yeah,
and you know, he like if Gilbert Gottfried was like his home life and his like real life and his like acting side.
Yeah,
totally different. That like you just didn't know what he was up to. It's like, oh, Gilbert Gottfried dies from like you know, snorting a giant pile of cocaine. You're like, oh, okay. Like it wouldn't surprise you because you're like, oh, I don't. But it's just like there's not. He just was really good at keeping his private life really well.
Yeah.
It's sad that he died. But yeah, just like.
I mean, it just. I was like, so many like just appearances in different places and like act like voice acting and appearances all over the place, like
very unique for a guy who just had like one act, because in the sense of like you got Gilbert Gottfried, you got this character he had, you didn't want him playing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he knew that role and it was universal. It was almost like it became his own acting methods, like, oh, you need a loud, aggressive, like short man to scream that's not Danny DeVito, you got Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
And he would just be in like bit roles, you know, like he survived a lot. And it's like, I think he never really got his own like breakout movie, right? He didn't, I'm not sure if he ever wanted it, but I mean, he was in everything since like the 80s till now.
No, he was all over the place. Like, I mean, obviously Aladdin is a huge one. Iago, which I think he pretty much like voiced Iago for like even like the like direct to video movies and stuff and like other appearances and like
Kingdom Hearts. He might have done the TV show also.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Iago for
everything.
Like everything, and it was not like, oh, he played a character. Like, no, he just played Gilbert Gottfried the bird.
Yeah. And then another one was like, which like Problem Child, like he was in every Problem Child plus the cartoon. Like he was the only like he's the only central person of like he's like only like recurring person in, across the entire like Problem Child franchise.
What, the principal? That makes no sense.
Yeah,
is it all? He's just the principal for all the kids, because I think the first two movies is the same kid, and then.
I can't remember. I can't remember if he's like a different character in like the third one or something, or if it's just like, or yeah, it's just like he just like got a different job, or he's just following like the family around or something. But and then there's the cartoon that was like also came out for Problem Child, and he was like reprised his role in that. And then another big one for me is all of the like. When VH1 was like doing all of those, like, you know, I love the 80s, I love the 70s, like, all, like he was like one of the main like panelists on that. So that was like I loved those, watching those. And then like, he was like one of the main people on those. And also I think like Best Week Ever too, when that was like airing on VH1 back in the day, like he was like one of the main people on that too.
Yeah, it's like, again, he played Gilbert Gottfried. He didn't play himself, just Gilbert Gottfried still.
And I've also seen like a bunch of people was like sharing like Hollywood Squares, like he was like a main person on that too, like when that was like going on, like the reboot Hollywood Squares with like Tom Bergeron. And what was the other one I saw? Oh, people were sharing like the Aristocrats, because yep. he had like probably one of the best versions of that joke in that movie.
I recently saw A Million Ways to Die in the West clips being shared where he's Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. I also saw like on the Weird Al show, like he was like Al's like imaginary friend. That was a great clip.
That's weird. Was he a recurring character?
No, it was just it was like one episode. It was like that was the whole premise of the episode. It was like Al had an imaginary friend, but it was Gilbert Gottfried. And yeah, I mean, pretty much just name a cartoon, name a TV show. Like he was probably on it at some point because like it's just like. So many credits, like 184 credits on IMDb, like just all over the place, everywhere. So, just, yeah, a huge, huge, like, personality presence in the world of comedy, and definitely going to be missed in that world and other places. So, RIP, Gilbert Gottfried. So, moving on, we got some trailers this week. Actually, we got, and the big trailer we got is we finally got the trailer for season 4 of Stranger Things, which I think has been delayed or kind of just been like we've been waiting because like season 3 ended in like 2019, I think. So it's been like close to 3 years. Yeah,
3 years.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean picking things up from season 3. Which, you know, spoilers for season 3, but like Hopper, everyone thought like Hopper is dead, but he's ended up in like a Russian prison, in Siberia.
He entered the super soldier program.
Yes, he's becoming whatever was red, crap, what was his Black Widow name? Red something. But yeah, pretty much the same situation. Like, yeah, he's like in a Siberian prison, and then like. The Byers and Eleven moves away from Hawkins to like a new city to like start over basically. But
moved to Doc, Indiana.
Yeah. But you know, I was like everything is it's nuts again. So everyone's like basically comes back, and then like there's a new it almost looks like he's like the Night King looks like, or like I think like they got like the Duffer brothers who like kind of run the show basically said like this new like villain is sort of like their version of like Freddy Krueger or like some sort of like Pennywise or something. It's like this like kind of like over like major like evil force that's like basically like controlling all of the other like, you know, upside down forces and like gonna like try to unleash them on the entire world and the regular world. Because there's been like you know, we've had like little breaches here and there across the last couple seasons, but like this is like there's like an actual like, you know, like major villain trying to like smash through the upside down, like invade like our world now. And there's like some sort of like there's a house in Hawkins called the Creel House that it seems like it's gonna be like the epicenter of that. It's like in the upside down, that's like where this new villain is like kind of gathering all the forces together. And it has something to do with like literally like Freddy Krueger, like Robert Englund is like he plays Victor Creel, who's like something happened in like the past of Hawkins, like, and it's like so it's sort of like Stephen King kind of like it's like this evil house in Hawkins that's like now it's like this like weird nexus of like the upside down.
But the thing I can't figure out is like. Was he not part of the experiment team that made all the children? Is just some dude who just found the rift and just hung out in it? I wonder how they're gonna explain that.
I don't know if he found a rift or it's just yeah. It's very Stephen King. It's very like crap. Why am I blanking on the main like that town that like is always in Stephen King stories? Castle Falls or Castle Rock, like it's very like Castle Rock kind of.
Oh, just a hub of like evil.
Yeah. And it looks like it's like leaning very into like heavy metal imagery too, because there's just a lot of crazy like it looks like heavy metal album art stuff going on. Like they're all and like the whole gang is like going into the upside down now. and it's like someone's like playing like guitar on top of a van in the Upside Down, and like it's other people are getting powers, maybe like it looks like Max is getting at least getting powers or something. And then Eleven doesn't have her powers anymore because she used them all and like to like destroy like the Mind Flayer in season 3.
Maybe Max's sadness unlocks her other powers, or maybe she finds something.
Yeah. But yeah, looks like a lot of cool stuff, a lot of stuff with like we've come to know from Stranger Things. So it's gonna be 9 episodes. They're gonna break it up into two chunks. So the first chunk is gonna be May 27th on Netflix, and then the next chunk is gonna be July 1st. And then also on Netflix, we got the first trailer for The Lincoln Lawyer, which is, you know, based on the Michael Connelly books. There was also the movie that had Matthew McConaughey in it from like 2011. But it's which I think I saw the movie, but I don't remember like anything about it. Like, you know, it had the cast of that movie was like ridiculous. Like it was like Matthew McConaughey, but also like Bryan Cranston and Marissa Tomei and like John Leguizamo and Michael Peña and like just tons of people in that movie, and like no one really remembers it. But I think this was supposed to be like a CBS show, but they passed on it and then Netflix picked it up. So
they're like, yoink.
Yep. But yeah, Manuel Garcia Ruffo from like he was in Magnificent Seven, like that remake one, and he was in like from Dust to Dawn the series. He was in a bunch of stuff. He is Mickey Haller, the Lincoln Lawyer, and then you also have Neve Campbell is going to be co-starring in it, and then David E. Kelley, who you know has brought us stuff like Boston Legal and Goliath and Alec Beale, and currently like Big Sky and Big Little Lies is going to be, he's the showrunner and writer of the show. And it's based on the second Mickey Haller book, The Brass Verdict.
The Brass Verdict?
Yeah, that's the name of the book that this season is based on.
I just think it's kind of funny because I just never knew about the Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah.
Until the movie, then I was like, oh, he does his business in a Lincoln car.
It's too bad it's not on Amazon, because then they could do a Bosch crossover, because in like the universe of like the Michael Connelly books, like the Lincoln Lawyer is like the stepbrother or half-brother to Bosch.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't that make sense? When you snatch up all the rights and stuff, they just drop that.
Yeah, like you think Amazon would want like build up their like you know like their dad book universe? Like they got Reacher, they got Jack Ryan, they got Bosch.
Yeah, they got I feel like Yellowstone would have completed the trifecta.
That wasn't based on a book though. That was just like that is like a dad show probably, but that's. But that's not on Prime Video, obviously. But they got their kind of like spin on Yellowstone. They got that Outer Range show coming up soon with like Josh Brolin.
Isn't that like sci-fi cowboys?
Yeah, there's some sort of like supernatural sci-fi thing going on with that one. But yeah, Lincoln Lawyer. It looks like a solid like it's maybe like a solid like legal thriller crime show, I guess. I mean, obviously the bar is set ridiculously high by like Better Call Saul, which this probably won't reach, but it seems like it could be a solid show, and it's on May 13th is when Lincoln Lawyer is gonna debut on Netflix. And then other news from this week, we got a screenwriter for the Ghost of Tsushima movie that's coming from Sony Pitch. What is it? Is it Sony Films or Sony PlayStation Productions, I think is their company.
Yeah, I think it's that in-between studio, because they want to do like they did Ratchet and Clank first,
and Uncharted, and they're doing Last of Us, the HBO show. So, and then Ghost of Tsushima is going to be a theatrical movie, with I believe Chad Stahelski from John Wick and other and all the John Wick movies is going to be directing the Ghost of Tsushima movie. And then they've got so Takashi Dosher is hired to write the screenplay, which he's written a couple I think more like he wrote a movie called Blue that's in development. It's like a it's like a Japanese monster movie, and then he's got like a he wrote and directed a sci-fi movie called Only. Doesn't seem like he's done a bunch of like blockbuster movies or anything, but I still need to play Ghost of Tsushima. I have it. I have not played it yet though, so I gotta play that at some point soon.
Yeah, I had the same thing where like I didn't buy it yet, but I knew that it was gonna be a good game, that they'll make like a next gen version and stuff, like a game of the year version, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like, all right, and like I so much my plate, I just knew it's not worth getting just yet, but I definitely want to play before I see the show, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a movie. It's gonna be a movie.
All right.
And I don't think there's a release date or anything for that yet, but that's coming soon from PlayStation Productions. And then we also got some news to speak from the National Treasure Disney Plus show, that we are getting at least one of the movie cast members. So Justin Bartha, who played Riley Poole in the movies, is going to be back on the Disney Plus show.
Could we get Nick Cage?
Can you imagine if they hid that and then like the last episode or the first episode, like Nicolas Cage, and then just like people would like lose their minds.
Surprise, he's here.
Yeah.
The show you really wanted to see. I remember one of the ideas was to be a reboot with like it's not canonical to the show or anything and whatever. I hope this version, because they have the original character, like the original actor, I hope like he's not just like playing a new role. I hope it's like continuation.
No, yeah, he's definitely playing Riley from the first two movies. So it's gonna be like a sequel series, or like it's in the same universe as the first two National Treasure movies. And then, you got like a new character leading it. Played by Alexis Jess, who is like trying to find. It sounds like she's kind of like Dora from the Dora Explorer movie, where it's like just like go to like South America and like uncover like her family's mysterious past, and also like find this treasure that's like hidden down there. But then I think Catherine Zeta-Jones is gonna be like either like the villain or like kind of like the rival treasure hunter.
I mean, that's fine. It's gonna be like a typical race against another treasure hunter who probably has like evil motivations.
Yeah.
Imagine if it's not, like, they're just another typical, like, family-friendly architecture group that's just like, oh, like, this will help save our house if we find this treasure.
Yeah.
Is there a rule that, like, rival architecture people, archaeologists and, like, historians have to be evil?
Yeah, like, they're only in it for the greed, for the money.
Like, I feel like that should be, like, a requirement when you're, like, studying, like, archaeology. It's like, hey...
Make sure
are you gonna be evil about this? Because we gotta put you in the right schooling for that.
You gotta bring stuff to museums. You can't just hoard it in your house. Like
doctors take an oath.
Yeah, the Hippocratic Oath. Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, so this this National Treasure show. I don't think it has released it yet, but it will be a Disney Plus exclusive series at some point. So look forward to that on your Disney Plus. And then another Disney Plus news, we have our Percy Jackson, our new Percy Jackson, and it's Walker Scobell, who was in The Adam Project. He was young Ryan Reynolds in The Adam Project. He's going to be the new Percy Jackson.
Cool. Starting with like a really young actor.
Mm-hmm. It'll be definitely interesting to see what his acting style is like that when he's not trying to copy Ryan Reynolds.
he doesn't know how to copy anyone else, so he's still Ryan Reynolds, like kid Ryan Reynolds.
Your projection is just like this Ryan, snarky Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
With like lightning powers.
It's method acting, but it's too good.
Yeah.
He just lives the method now.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're gonna start shooting that sometime this summer. So that'll probably be maybe like a next year Disney Plus show. And it is gonna be a Disney Plus series, not a new movie or anything. And Rick Riordan, who wrote the books, is executive producing the show, along with Jonathan E. Steinberg, who co-created Jericho and Black Sails, is going to be one of the guys behind the show. And also James Bobin, who directed The Muppets. And I think he directed Dora the Explorer, which is coming up a lot. But like, I think he directed that Dora movie, or at least like he produced it. And yeah, they're just gonna go back to the beginning, just like kind of just redo things, that like start with the first book again and just go through it, but with more time to kind of like flesh things out and
pay attention to Percy Jackson before like he has to fight monsters. Like when's the last time you saw the first movie?
I've only seen like parts of the first movie. I've never seen the whole thing just like straight through.
It moves quickly, where it's like his realization of like who he is and what he is and stuff moves fast.
Yeah.
Like Percy, you're like part of a god. Oh, okay, cool. Can I get a date? Like, no. You gotta go through trials. Like a lot of the other gods don't like this. And then from there on, the rest of the movies, it gets more ridiculous, where it's just like he doesn't even hang out in the city anymore.
Well, the two movies that they were able to make out of like however many books there are.
The Lightning Thief wasn't so bad.
That was the first one, yeah. Then the Sea of Monsters was the second one, which they both kind of like flopped compared to like, because that was like prime, like everyone trying to copy Harry Potter. Just like, we need a Harry Potter, give us a fantasy book series. So yeah, maybe since like the Wizarding World is kind of floundering right now, people are obviously it's coming out. If you're hearing this, it's out, but we haven't like it, there's no like box office reports yet of it. But like Secrets of Dumbledore is like people are saying it's probably gonna be like the lowest opening for like a Wizarding World Harry Potter movie ever. Like people are not expecting it to do well, so maybe if Harry Potter is floundering, like Percy Jackson can step up and be like the new, like we're the new fantasy, like young adult fantasy show now. But yeah, so we'll keep an eye out for that. They'll probably be out. I'm guessing probably maybe sometime next year. If they're gonna shoot it this year, probably next year on Disney Plus. And then in other news, definitely unexpected, bizarre news coming out this week, but there's going to be a movie coming out that's going to be based on Spirit Halloween, the like Halloween costume pop-up stores that show up every October. Which I don't know how you come up with decide that if Spirit Halloween was just like make us a movie, but It's coming this year. It's gonna come in this October, and it sounds like it's gonna be sort of like Goosebumpsy. Like it's basically like three kids, like kind of like hide in a spirit Halloween, and like after the store closes, but then like they start getting like there's like an evil spirit that like possesses all the animatronic characters and starts like trying to like kill them or possess the kids.
Interesting. Just an evil store.
Well, there's like
a Goosebumps episode of
it's like evil spirit in the store. It's like taking over like all those like animatronic that you could buy, like the killer clowns and like the I don't think they have enough budget to like have like licensed characters or not, but I'll probably just be like the generic like it's evil clown, it's vampire, like it's werewolf, like.
Yeah, it's like all the cheap knockoff like monsters that they can't. It's not Universal Monsters. It's not. It's gonna be like It'd be funny if it's the world of those costumes where it's like it's Ghostbust Man.
Yes, it's like knockoffs.
Yep. If they lean into it, it'd be funny.
Yeah. And the other big news about this movie is that Christopher Lloyd and Rachel Leigh Cook are going to be co-starring in it, along with a bunch of the group of young actors that are going to be the kids trapped in the store. I hope Christopher Lloyd is either like the evil spirit or he's like some sort of the manager of the Spirit Halloween or something. Just like he's like the weird old manager of the Spirit Halloween.
It's basically becoming Cage Master with him, then.
Yeah. But that'd be fun if he was like the evil spirit. That'd be cool. Throw back like Dennis the Menace days. Oh, like evil Christopher Lloyd.
Hasn't done that in a while.
Yeah. But this October you can go. You can go to Spirit Halloween, then you can watch Spirit Halloween. So, and then speaking of kind of spooky things, last bit of news for this week is that we heard news about Peacock is rebooting Casper. So they're going to do a new live action kind of horror adventure comedy show based on Casper. But I think based on the comics, it's going to be like Riverdale, but with Casper.
Weird.
Yeah. So it's like dark, kind of darker than the classic 90s movie, but. And it's basically a family moves to like this town called Eternal Falls, and then Casper finds himself entangled in a mystery and covering dark secrets that have been buried for over 100 years. So Casper's gonna be like solving mysteries or like murder mysteries or something.
It's weird.
Do people want a dark Casper? Like, he's the friendly ghost. That's his fucking title. Like. Just angst, like angsty Casper. I don't know. It definitely sounds like a weird show. The dark reboot of Casper. That I wonder if the Ghostly Trio are gonna be back or anything. Because I think that was weren't they I think. Were they in the original comic? Or were they created for the movie? Because I feel like that was like a big movie thing, and then you didn't really hear about them before then. they're probably in the comic at some point, I would imagine. But
I guess. I mean, he had to do something.
Yeah. The dark gritty versions of. Stinky, Fatso, and Stretch.
how they died, how they told the true story.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess they were in the comic, but they were kind of like not. It seems like they weren't as like distinctive as like the movie made them. They're more like the Three Stooges.
Makes sense.
But yes, that's coming to Peacock sometime in the near future. So if you have a Peacock subscription, you can at some point watch the grittier Riverdale-esque reboot of Casper. And that's it for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, did you watch anything from the last week or so here?
I've been watching a lot of Wayne on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It's this like sleeper hit show that I basically was seeing like clips on YouTube or whatever, and then finally saw like where when I tracked down what this was from, and like it. Let me look up the history of Wayne TV show. I think it was like originally like a YouTube series or something, it was a YouTube like premium.
So it's like a Cobra Kai kind of.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Cobra Kai was also on.
YouTube Red. YouTube, yeah, it was originally a YouTube premium. And then Amazon like came in and put it on their service. And then they just like put on their show, but it's like it's just like criminally underrated that this came out, and it's like it's well written, it's well acted, it's like it's goofy. Okay, so it's about a show about this teen, like 17-year-old, 16-year-old named Wayne, who lives in Boston. And he has like a rough life where everyone in the neighborhood kind of knows a story, but they all like don't, they sort of pity him, but they don't. Only because he's like the town's like not bully, but like the anti-bully, where if he sees like kind of like injustice or anything like cruel or anything like that, like he goes and like handles it by getting into fights. And he's just like ruthless to the point like the school kind of fears him, but respects him. Like, he sort of just like is quick to like just get into fights, even if he might win or lose, like he'll just do it, and it like messes up everyone's like day, you know, like, and it's like, yeah, he's stubborn and he doesn't know better, but like it's what his father taught him. But his father dies, and then his father's last wish was to like get his old car back from his mom, who like took the car and ran off. And the whole story is about him trying to, at least the first season, is him trying to get to Florida from Boston, to get the car back and like kind of reconnect with his mom. And along the way, he encounters like all these characters like in different states, just to like survive or kind of be on the run. Because when he leaves Boston, he does it like spectacularly, and then he actually gets like a new love interest that tags along with him, and then. You know, there's like this like girl's family is like after him. The cops are after him. People he's wrong are after him just because like he was just like, well, I'm done with this. Like, I'm done with Boston. Like, I'm going to Florida. So he along the way, he just like kind of, it's kind of like the Incredible Hulk, where like he's got no business doing like these things, but he just ends up in situations where he's like, well. Like, I'm gonna fight this drug dealer. I'm gonna fight like these like pricks. I'm gonna fight like these rude like people. And because he's kind of like awkward, but he like when it comes to like fighting, he knows that. And yeah, like it's got like such a great mix of action, comedy, and drama. Like it, and it's not like, oh, it's light on the violence. Like that's why I was like, oh, this is a YouTube show. This is amazing because it's got that like. Almost like a happy, like the TV show Happy, sense of like, yeah, like punctuation, and then just like, oh, here comes like wacky dialogue punctuated with like a punch to the face, like an actual like, oh, something's happening. So it's very like, it's just like a very well crafted blend of hitting all those spots. Let's see. Yeah, like the person who made it, like, kind of doesn't really have much under his record, but
the guys who wrote Deadpool are like the main guys behind it, right? Paul Wernick and Rhett Reese, they're the Deadpool guys.
No, they
they're executive producers.
They're the executive producers, right? But like the original creator, Sean Simmons, like, is just some guy, you know? Like he came up with the idea and just like, oh, I've got an idea, you know? Like, let's just make this crazy show about this angsty ass Boston kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying like, you know, like that came out of nowhere. Yeah. He is actually directing the new John Wick, The Continental. Like, or he's creating. He's like right. He's part of that like franchise. So like, he gets the idea. You know, he gets the idea that if you're gonna do action should look feel like this. If you're gonna do like comedy should also be like its own entity, but you're gonna blend it, like work up to it. So Wayne does that well because all these like bonk, like, you ever seen My Name is Earl?
A little bit, yeah.
So like the townspeople is like everyone's like a kooky ass character. Like no one is just like normal person. Like he befriends all these like people who are kind of in tight spots, or they kind of like their lives are in trouble, and then Wayne just shows up and then it's like, oh hey. Like he'll deal with it in his own weird way, and it's fun. Like it's usually violent, and it's just kind of like he has no mercy when it comes to like oh, like, you've done wrong. Like, I have to punish you. So, I recommend it. Again, criminally underrated. I don't know why this was not what would convince people to watch YouTube, like, Red back in 2019. I get Cobra Kai became, like, the thing, but holy shit, Wayne is such a, like, every, like, two episodes feels like a full movie. Even though it's only, like, a half an hour, there's so much, like, going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I recommend it just to burn through it. I feel like I haven't gotten to the end yet. Like, I'm, like, near the end where it kind of gets to that complete story. And it's fine. If they did a movie, they'd probably trim out a lot of the dead parts and a lot of the, like, love story elements. But they can still keep in if they were. But as a TV show in 30-minute segments, amazing. Then we can talk about our commentary.
Oh, yes. We watched the Nicolas Cage classic next.
Yeah, is it classic? I don't know.
I don't think so, no. It's definitely weird. Although I think not quite as weird as you would like expect. Like it could have definitely been weird. Like Nicolas Cage is like very like it's a more subdued Nicolas Cage that you would like want from like a movie where he's like a magician who can see into the future. Like. But so we're talking about like it's there's so much like it's just, like the FBI is like so like wasting so many resources trying to like get this like magician who can see the future because there's a nuclear bomb missing. It's when they say it's been missing for like 5 weeks.
Yeah, and they instead of like I don't know getting their shit together.
Julian Moore's just like, we have to focus all of our energy on getting this magician guy because he'll tell us where the bomb is. Because I think he can see the future. I have no proof of they can see the future, but I believe he can see the future.
It's trying to confirm that he can see the future up until like, I don't know, like the halfway point of the movie. They weren't even sure.
Yeah. They just see him do things and they're like, oh, well, he knew where we were going to be. So he leaves right before they're going to like show up or something. But it's like, the movie never explains like where he got his powers from or like any, like the rules are like constantly shifting all the time or like not really clear. Cause like sometimes he just like, he can like, there's like this thing where like he can see 2 minutes in the future, but it's like, is there a reset time? Like, because we were talking about, like, he should be just always be able to see the future. But it's like, oh, there's, like, these like weird, like, gaps where it's like, oh, if we get it before now, then he won't be able to, like, see the 2 minutes will be up or whatever. Like, and then sometimes it's like, he just, like, yeah, he just, like, see things. But then, other times he's like Neo in the Matrix. He, like, dodge bullets and, like dodge, like, trucks falling on him and explosions and, like... So he's like power level is like constantly shifting all the time in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like it didn't need to be that complicated if they didn't have to explain as much. But for some reason, they really wanted to lean in on hunting this and try to explain it. And they sort of did with that weird experiment scene, which I guess is from the book, where they do like a... Can the cage sense danger by watching TV, like trigger some something that like it danger that's a relate by him?
Oh, like when they clockwork orange him and like strap him to that like chair, yeah. And like make, force him to like watch the news.
They should explain that this is based on a book about a golden man, like a golden robot.
Yeah,
man.
It's another Philip K. Dick adaptation, but it has literally almost nothing to do with the original story, except for like it's a the golden man in the story is like a little like a mutant who can like his golden skin that can see the future, and then the government like captures him. But then we made like the like realization watching the movie that like Nicolas Cage is wearing a golden jacket. So that's is this was like I guess this was like the reference to like the book or the short stories. Like he's wearing a golden jacket. And yeah, just everything with like Jessica Biel and this like the Nicolas Cage was like the montage of him like trying all the different like pickup techniques and like what eventually works is like corny like dad jokes and like weird historical facts and also getting punched in the face like. If you get punched in the face and then tell dad jokes and then also like reference like weird like historical like oddities, then like you can get with Jessica Biel.
Yeah, it's like it makes sense. He probably ran the scenario way more than we saw.
Yeah,
like he was able to win her heart. Mm-hmm. Trial and error.
And then the FBI totally gaslights her. Is like, oh, he's a crazy lunatic who's like who's just using you. And they never really explain anything about the terrorists. There's like this like weird like Eastern European like diehard esque villains, but they have like no personality or any sort of like. It's just, like we have no idea what the hell they're trying to do or why they're at the nuclear bomb or like anything. But then they also never explain like because they know about Nicolas Cage and they're trying to kill Nicolas Cage or like capture him or something because apparently they also know that he has like future powers.
Which I don't even understand how they knew.
Yeah.
I think their fault was like even asking him, like, or tracking him down. Like, it made no sense. Because, like, by them doing this, it fucked up their whole plan.
Well, I guess not really, because, like, because the entire movie is just, like, never happens, apparently. That's the big twist of the movie is, like, two-thirds of the movie or half the movie is just like extended like vision of Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but if he didn't alter it, wouldn't it play out that way where basically the cops would have came and all this shit?
And then blew up Los Angeles or whatever?
Yeah. But like another thing is they only got Nicolas Cage because they captured his girlfriend, so
yeah.
If he walked away like he did, you know, like
if Jessica Biel was involved, then he can like see farther than 2 minutes into the future. Because like normally you can just see like the next 2 minutes ahead, but then with Jessica Biel, you can see like super. You can see like as far into the future as like if she's involved in something.
He can see further than ever. He saw like I don't know. Two weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Yeah. Like some. Not even 2 weeks, but like a couple of days where it's like, you think they'll find the nuke in time? We won't know.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Like, I don't mind it. Like up until the halfway point, the movie's pretty enjoyable. It's kind of bullshitty. I think the beginning is a lot better. Because it's a lot more fun with the like visions and the whole like you know
him like trying to like escape the casino and stuff. Yep. And then Peter Falk's there for like one random scene. Like Columbo yep. himself is there for like one scene.
I would like more of him, but
yeah.
I don't know.
And like of the movies that were like because so that 2007 he had. All said Ghost Rider and National Treasure Book of Secrets. So I'd probably put this as like last among those three. Maybe.
Yeah.
Like next is like the weakest
of that year.
Of that year, yeah.
Yeah, it's the weaker of that.
That was a crazy era for it's like this kid's making stuff like Lord of the War and The Weatherman, but then also like Next in Bangkok Dangerous and Knowing. Like, you look at like his IMDb for like the mid-2000s, and it's just like, it's like every other movie is like, oh, this was great, this is terrible, this is great, this is terrible. Like, but I think he's like in like a, like he's in like a we're in like the Cage Sans now, where it's like, it seems like he's like doing a lot of like really interesting cool stuff again. So, but yeah, so yeah, next will be out next week, just in time for The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. So if you can watch next, then go check out that possibly the ultimate Nicolas Cage movie, where Nicolas Cage plays himself.
Be great. I wish he referenced next as a quick
hopefully
shout out.
Yeah, hopefully there's a joke about him seeing the future or something, and then like being like, oh no, I can't do that. Like,
I'm really kidding about this, and just like, okay, and he gets punched in the face or something. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So anything else with those two, Chris?
That's mostly it.
Okay. Well, I saw a bunch of stuff. I saw a bunch of classic horror movies, actually. So from my Netflix disc subscription, I got The Omen, the 1976 classic, which I don't think, I'd never seen all the way through. I've seen like a bunch of clips, like just like from like different specials or just like on YouTube or whatever, but I not watched the whole thing of The Omen. But I don't know if you've heard, but it's great. It's one of the classic horror movies. A Richard Donner joint, which is kind of like also interesting too, because like I think he directed it right. It's like he directed The Omen, then he directed like Superman next. So it's like, and then like went on to like not really do any horror ever again.
Really, that's his only horror?
I feel like it is, because like he did Superman, and then like Goonies and Lady Hawk and Lethal Weapon. So it's like he never really went back to like, oh, he did Tales from the Crypt Ritual, which was like the unofficial like third Tales from the Crypt movie. But and then I think he did a bunch. He also helped co-create, and like I think he did a bunch of like Tales from the Crypt too. So. But yeah, I mean, I think The Omen is like his like main big horror movie that he did. And it's also like, I feel like it kind of lulls you into like this kind of like where it's like, oh, Gregory Peck's here, like the main character. Like it lulls you into this, it's like very like, it's like this prestigious story, and then like, but then like the kills are like so ridiculous over the top and crazy in that movie. Like David Warner getting his head sliced off by like a glass like sheet. Where it's like, it's clearly a dummy, but it's still like awesome. Like it's still like it's so obviously a mannequin that got like slammed with like a glass sheet, but like it's still like awesome. And then like the priest that gets like the like spear, like the lightning hits a tower, and like a spear falls off the church tower, like spears a priest on the ground. So it's like you kind of forget because you're just watching like this like almost like a drama, and then it's just like, and then like crazy, like the Latin chanting starts happening, and like a crazy kill happens.
And I forgot, like, the boy is the new devil, right?
So yeah, basically like everything kicks off because like, so like Gregory Peck, Robert Thorne, his wife, he's like a diplomat in Rome, and his wife gives birth, but the baby dies like at birth. But then there's a baby whose mother died in birth, so then they adopt the baby, and that's Damien. But then it turns out, oh, he was like, he's like the Antichrist. He's like the son of Satan.
Okay.
And then they get like, you know, they get like the evil nanny, and they get like, there's like a Rottweiler like running around that's like a demon maybe or something. They didn't really explain the Rottweiler. There's like a ton of Rottweilers in the movie. Like it seems like they're kind of like, they're all like, like demonic guardians or something. But I love this, the movie like turns into like a, it's basically turns like a buddy cop movie for like the second half, where it's like Gregory Peck and David Warner just like trying to like figure out what the hell's happening. So it's like, they're just like going around just like like different places and like digging into like newspaper clippings and stuff to try to figure out like, oh, my son, oh, I guess my son, yeah, my son's like the Antichrist. Which there's like so many like weird, like when it's right when like the nanny shows up and it's just like she's like clearly evil and there's like and it's but then like very precious like, all right, this is fine, cool. I guess. Yeah.
Would you watch my kid?
Or like all like everyone is like so kind of like slowly realize like what like it's like there's something weird going on because like it's like at one point like Damien's mother like takes him to like a zoo. And then all the animals like run away in horror, and it's just like she's like, "Oh, that's a weird day at the zoo." Like,
all the animals react are kind of bizarre.
Yeah. But yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a horror classic, obviously. So check that out if you have not seen the Omen. And then on Shudder, they've added a ton of movies recently. So I watched The Funhouse. Which I don't know if you've heard of that or seen that one, Chris, but that is a Tobe Hooper joint. That was a movie it was his next movie after Texas Chainsaw, and it was his first big like studio movie because like Texas Chainsaw, his first movie Eaten Alive, his second movie Eaten Alive, they were both not like they were like indie kind of like not studio movies, and then The Funhouse was like Universal put that out, so that was like his first big like a big studio putting out one of his movies, and it was basically like his like it's his like take on like a slasher movie, like it's basically like his like Halloween or something where he's like doing like a slasher but obviously taking place at like a carnival because it's the Funhouse. And yeah, it's pretty fun. It's kind of a slow burn because like the first like 30 minutes or so, or like it's like just like you just follow like this group of teens at the carnival, just like going on rides and going to see like shows and stuff, and like it doesn't get into like it doesn't turn like a slasher horror movie until like halfway through or like two-thirds of the way through.
Really? I always thought it was like a constant thing.
No, these four teens, like two couples, they go to like the carnival, this like sleazy carnival, and are just hanging out, but then they decide like, hey, we're gonna hide in the Funhouse dark ride after like the carnival shuts down, then we'll like, you know, do whatever, smoke weed or make out or whatever, like all night in here. But then they witness like there's like the guy who the kind of like the barker like guy who runs the Funhouse, like, and then like, he has like this like you find out he's like a mutant, basically. He's like the deformed son, like kills like the fortune teller, like because the teens can like see like the floor next floor down, so like these like wooden slats, that, so they see like this like mutant like son of like the guy who runs the Funhouse like murder this woman, and then they so then it's like oh th- but then like they realize the father and son realize like oh there's someone upstairs like that saw this, so then that's like the slash part is like them trying to like kill the teens to like keep their secret
that you killed the fortune teller.
Yeah, and it's like we can't have any witnesses, like, and it's in basically you find out like it's happened before, like to this like mutant as like son of like the Funhouse guy has like killed people before, and they kind of like hidden it or like blamed it on like just like a local person at whatever town the carnival went through. So they're basically trying to do that again, just like kill all the witnesses and like make it seem like some random person in town killed everyone.
Oh, I kind of forgot that detail. I think I've seen this movie because it's like four teens on a date.
Yes, yeah, and they're going around. They go to a magic show, and they go to like the fortune teller. They go to like the freak show. The first half of the movie is just like them just kind of like hanging out and just going around all the different like things at the carnival. But the carnival definitely has like that Tobe Hooper like Texas Chainsaw thing where it's just like every at the carnival is like a weird like backwoods kind of southern person. Like if like Leatherface showed up at the carnival, it would like make total sense. Like it definitely seems like a carnival that would be in like the Texas Chainsaw universe.
Yeah, like a traveling kind of horror show.
Yeah, or just like a super super sleazy like 70s carnival. But But it's I think 81 is when this one came out. But and then but then like so like the mutant like Gunther, who's like the son, he when you see his face, he's like kind of like a werewolf-esque, like kind of like a some, like a mutant werewolf kind of thing. And Rick Baker did the special effects for that. So it's like a really awesome like Rick Baker like face mask kind of thing. But yeah, it's fun if you have like it's definitely a super deep cut for like Tobe Hooper and like kind of like 80s horror. So if you, but it's on Shudder right now if you want to check that out. It's a fun slasher movie. And then also on Shudder I saw The Fog, the John Carpenter classic. Which that movie I haven't seen that one all the way through or never like all the before either, but that one, The Fog, is a slow burn. I did not realize how slow of a burn that movie is. Like, there's a lot of setup and build up in that movie. I'm just like, oh, the fog's coming in. It's still coming in. It's rolling through town.
And it's here.
Yeah. But I mean it's good, like John Carpenter, you know, like moods. It's got his synthy score under it, you know. So it is some like good like tension building and world, like kind of like atmospheric build up. It's also weird too because like there's like a set body count on it because like the fog pirates that are like come out of the fog and start killing people, they only want to kill 6 people. Because that was like 6 people killed them back in the because the whole setup is like it's this group of pirates that were like got lured into like this town because they like set a like a campfire or something on shore, and so they got like they crashed into the rocks, and then the town founders stole all the gold from the pirates, but now the ghosts of the pirates are back to like get revenge. So they want and like so it's like 6 people were like the conspirators that like killed them back in like 100 years ago or whatever, so now they want to kill 6 people it's like as revenge. And it's like right away they kill like 3 people on a boat, so it's like there's only like 3 people left that need to get killed. So it's not like a huge body count or anything. It's like a weird like we're just gonna kill 6 people town and then we'll leave, it's fine. Like which you would think it'd be like they would just like roll through town and just like murder everyone, but it's just like there's like
just
nope.
6.
Yeah, just 6. Yeah, or if you get their gold back, then they'll leave apparently. But yeah, it's good. I would probably put it for me. I'd probably like put it like middle tier John Carpenter. Like it's definitely not as good. It's definitely like way above like Ghosts of Mars or something, or some of his truly bad movies, but like it's not near the top of like Escape from New York or Big Trouble or like The Thing or anything, but it's like a solid like middle tier John Carpenter movie with like a super fun it's all the John Carpenter like mainstays are in it, like you know, like Jamie Lee Curtis and Adrian Barbeau and Tom Atkins and Hal Holbrook, like all these people that appear in like multiple John Carpenter movies are all in it.
Right.
But yeah, that's also on Shudder. You can check that out. And then the last thing I saw is not a horror movie, but I saw on Paramount Plus. I saw Infinite. The Mark Wahlberg movie that came out. I think when Paramount Plus launched, that was like their big like we have Infinite, it's like exclusive Paramount Plus movie.
Yeah.
Which man, that movie is dumb.
Really?
Like it is super super stupid.
What happens in it?
So yeah, I'll spoil it. I don't think anyone cares. Like it came
no
out.
One
and no
one cares.
And no
I think
cares.
Mark Wahlberg cares.
No. But. Basically, I think it's based on like a book or something. I have no idea like what if it's true to the book at all. But basically the premise is that there's like a certain amount of people in the world who are infinites and they can remember all their past lives. So they're sort of Highlanders, but they're not immortal. Like they can die, but then they come back in a different body and they can remember like all their everything that happened before that. And there's two groups of infinites. There's like the believers who are trying to like help humanity, and then like the nihilists who are led by Chiwetel Ejiofor, and they want to like basically like destroy the world because they hate being infants. They hate like remembering everything. And it's like they basically think it's like a curse. So Chiwetel Ejiofor has basically created this like thing called the Egg. It's like a doomsday weapon. They'll like kill everything on Earth. Because if there's nothing left on Earth, if there's no living thing left on Earth, there's nothing to like reincarnate into. So that's their plan. Is like they're like, we're gonna wipe out the Earth, and then they'll be it. Like we just want to die. Like we hate being like infinites.
So they're almost like Eternals, but stupider.
They're sort of Eternals. They're sort of Highlanders, but it's not like they're like they're not immortal. They're not the same person for like thousands of years. It's like they've been different people for thousands of years,
have they just been looking the same for thousands of years?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, because you find out, Mark Wahlberg, like, doesn't realize he's an infinite, but then he finds out that he is. But then, so, like, one of Mark Wahlberg's, like, past lives, he was a Japanese, like, bladesmith. so, at one point, like, thousands of years ago, like Mark Wahlberg's character was, like, a Japanese person. And he also like flashes up like his previous lives, and he was like an African warrior. It's like there's no like they could be any race, any like any nationality, like at any point in the future. But when they remember their lives, they remember oh, I'm this person. I was this person like a thousand years ago or whatever. Like, but they're a new person. So Mark Wahlberg is like Evan McCauley in like the present day of like the movie, but then at one point he was like this other guy, Heinrich Treadway, who's like the guy, like he stole the egg in like the 80s, but then everyone got killed, basically everyone got killed in the 80s, so like they all have to wait like whatever, like 20 years, 30 years, they all like grew up into new bodies, and then now the war's back, like this like mission's back on. But you get stuff like Mark Wahlberg is like he was a bladesmith, so like he makes a katana. He's just like, I don't know. I just know how to do this. I don't know how I can do it, but I just do it. So he just like forges a katana. And then he finds out he's an infinite. And then both sides are trying to get him because like he knows where the egg, like if they can like get his memory back, like he can like tell them where the egg is, and like either. Like the evil guy, the bad guy Bathurst wants it to like obviously to blow up the world, and like the other faction wants it to like keep it and like help not blow up the world. But there's like so much stuff they don't explain. Like Chiwetel Ejiofor just has like his side is just made like so much like crazy technology that like there's like no explanation for like how they got the money for it. Like, because it's just like I'm assuming they like. It's not like they're like immortal. They just like they can just like I'm gonna put like money in this bank account, and then like a thousand years later, like a hundred years later, the interest will be on it or whatever. I'm immortal. I can just like build up all this like money or like this like treasure. It's like every like 60, 70 years, they're dying and like have to like wait another like 30 years until like they're like able to like really do anything again.
Why? Because they then become like an adult.
Yeah, because you're born, you're reborn, and you have to, like, basically, I mean, you can't, like, you're not gonna be, like, a 10-year-old kid running around trying to, like, blow up the Earth or something, so, I think they say it's, like, around, like, puberty or, like, teenage years is when they start remembering, like, their, like, past lives. But basically when it happened for Mark Wahlberg, they thought he was, like, schizophrenic instead of, like, being an infinite, so it's like, oh, you're crazy, take these, like, you have to take this medication for your entire life.
Oh, they've just been like medicating him.
Yeah. He never realized that he was like remembering past lives. It was like, he had like schizophrenia, and then they were just like sending him different doctors and like trying all these different treatments. But like, he was actually like remembering the time he was a Japanese bladesmith or like a African native warrior or something. But Chiwetel, like his side, like he somehow created all this technology, and the dumbest technology, like this is the most ridiculous technology, is that he's created a gun that if you shoot someone with, like it's got these special bullets, if you shoot someone with it, well, if you shoot Infinite with it, it downloads their brain onto a computer chip. Like, this is real. Like, it downloads their brain to a computer chip, and then he like puts them in like this, like he has this wall of like all the infants that he's killed, of like their like all the like believer infants that he's killed, and like he just keeps them trapped in like this like like computer like chip. Because if you kill an infant, like it's like they'll come back, they'll be reborn at some point. But if you shoot them with this like computer bullet, then their soul is trapped in the computer chip, and they can't reincarnate anymore.
So the soul can be captured by technology?
By technology, yes. And Chuta Edgefor has a special gun he shoots infants with, and like he gets a chip, and that person's essence or soul is captured on that chip, and then he like locks them away in like this like special like wall of like he puts their name on a green glass door, and like locks them away, and it's like, ha, I've captured you. You can't recover it anymore. And then he's got drones, he's got like holograms. It's like there's no explanation of, like how they figure out this technology. Like where's this money coming from? Like how do you build a computer chip bullet? Like so there's so much like crazy technology on both sides too, because like the other side has like holograms, and then at one point they go, because they try to get Mark Wahlberg to like remember things like the kind of the normal way they do it, which is like they have him like train, and like, oh, if you train like in like things you used to do in your past lives, then maybe you'll remember your past lives. But they kind of run out of time, so then they have to like go to this guy called the Artisan, who's played by Jason Mantzoukas, and then he puts Mark Wahlberg in this they basically drown him in like this like pressure chamber kind of, or like Houdini kind of like escape chamber thing, and then it's like if it gets you like to like close to death, then maybe you'll like it's like if your life flashes
before
your eyes,
yeah, all your past lives,
yeah.
Okay.
Which apparently that works. So basically they almost kill Mark Wahlberg in this like drowning tube thing, but then he survives, and they're able to like he's able to remember like where the egg is or whatever.
So wait, what the hell's the egg?
So Chiwetel Ejiofor made the egg, and it basically like if he puts in a bomb and like detonates it, it'll like basically like there's some sort of like DNA thing in it, or like it'll basically wipe out all living life on the planet, which is what his faction wants, because they hate being like remembering everything. They think it's a curse. They think humanity is run its course. They just want like to destroy everything and be done with it. So if he blows up the egg, it'll like kill everything, every like birds, people, trees, like it'll just like destroy the earth basically.
So it's just like a death bomb, like every
yes.
Living thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's because they just hate being alive. I feel like they just go to space or something. Like, why do they gotta kill the planet? Like, like it's such a weird concept.
Considering the amount of technology he has, like you would think he could have like just built like a space station or something, or like, because like they have crazy technology. Like, it's supposed to be like the present day, but it's like
I thought it was like the future on like the way everything is.
Yeah, they have crazy future technology. It's like, but like with like no explanation of like how does being like a person who fought like the like Prussian War or something like give you like, I'm gonna use my like blacksmithing like knowledge to like build hologram drones that I pilot with like a full room hologram. Like,
so I mean, it only makes sense where if you live so long, you only know as much, unless you're like an inventor, you know, of technology. Like, you, every lifetime you're spending, you like retain all the knowledge, but you don't, right? Or well, no, just Mark Wahlberg doesn't. I don't understand. Like, for some reason, Mark Wahlberg understood like all the, I'm crazy, I should take pills to repress all this, but like everyone else doesn't.
I guess he just like his parents or whatever, like they just they they didn't realize what was like. Well, I guess they wouldn't realize because they weren't infinites, but like they didn't realize, or he didn't realize it was his past lives. He just thought he was like having like a mental break or something. So then his parents like brought him to like all these different doctors. And he was like in an institution and stuff. Some of the other infants, like they oh yeah, I grew when I hit puberty or whatever. I remembered all my past lives and then joined either faction, I guess, or like most of them joined like the good side.
So for the few that did the evil side, but they're like the better.
They're like apparently like
more way, better equipped,
way,
yeah.
way more equipped. Oh, there's also stuff like the good faction has like a car that you can like instantly switch the steering wheel to the other side of the car. It's like a crazy like Bond car basically. And you just like press a button and it's like, because at one point it's just like the main like girl that's with Mark Wahlberg is like, hey, you gotta drive, I gotta shoot, and then it presses the button and like the steering wheel goes over to Mark Wahlberg's side of the car. So it's like, all right, we have this technology now too, like. Why are they not sharing? It's like, why are you not sharing this with the world? Like, why are you not sharing? Like you have this crazy technology that we're just like hoarding for like these like 500 people or something. Because I think they say there's like 500 like infinites in the world. Also no explanation of like why are there infinites? Like where did they come from? Like it's just like there's like it's. There's 500 people that can like remember their past lives. All right.
Wow.
Which they try to explain things with like ridiculous voiceover, like just like ridiculous like Mark Wahlberg voiceover, just like trying to explain things around just like talking about his past. It's just like, wow, It's like if you ever like heard like the Blade Runner, like when Blade Runner had like the Harrison Ford like voiceover, it's like that level of terrible.
Of just trying to like quickly shoehorn in.
Yeah, just like
so much plot.
Super deadpan. Just like, do you believe in past lives? Like, just like I never did until now. it's like what is this voiceover? But yeah, it's very, very dumb. So, I mean, if you have Paramount Plus and you want to watch a super, super dumb Mark Wahlberg action movie, check it out, I guess, because it's free basically. But there's other kind of similar stuff that's like way better than this. Like I don't know, I obviously Highlander or like, I guess The Matrix is kind of like it's like similar idea. Or even something like Jumper, I think, is better than this. Like, there's like
the rule of you are immortal, then you get reborn, or something's a cool idea. I don't like that. Basically, the evil side seems to be way more prepared.
Yeah, because there's someone mentions at one point. It's like, oh, we're trying to catch up with the nihilists because they're like technology's way better than us. Like they're trying backwards. Build like the like nihilist technology guns. They're trying to like rebuild like the computer chip gun and stuff, because they have no idea how that is built or anything. And then Shu Tel Agifor is just like mowing them down with like this fucking like computer chip gun, and, like killing all the infinites and putting them in his like computer vaults.
And then, okay, dumb thing that probably answered. If you just break those chips, are the souls free, or what do you have to do?
Yeah, I think one of the big things at the end is like they blow up his hideout or like his like lair or whatever, and then like they blow up like the computer vault wall. So then like I guess everyone who's like trapped in like the chips, if the chips get blown up, they're freed again. They can like reincarnate again. So. But yeah, it's just like Mark Wahlberg like just like fighting with a samurai sword because he used to be a Japanese like swordsmith, and then like they don't really do a lot of cool stuff with like there's not a lot of specific I was this in the past life, so I'll use this like very specific skill in this moment. Like there's not a lot, it's just like everyone just has like 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 general, just like, oh, I could fight really well because I've lived like hundreds of past lives. Like, there's not like a cool like, oh, I used to be like I don't like a inventor, you know, like a inventor or like a driver. Like no one seems to have any like, besides like Mark Wahlberg's like sword skills. Like no one seems to have any sort of like specific skill of like, I was this specific thing, and now I'm gonna use that skill in this moment to like do something.
What was it, like Senses 8, where it's like the combination
Sense 8,
of
yeah.
Sense 8, where it's like everyone has a different background and you can like pool their like their skills and knowledge when you need it. Like it should be like that, where it's like it, like Avatar The Last Airbender was that, where they get reincarnated and there's certain things from their past experience helps them in the future.
Yeah.
There's so much like inspiration to help you, and then they went with none of that.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, the only result of like people's past lives seems to be like, yeah, you can like do like crazy martial arts fights or something, or you're able to like shoot the guns really well and like do like mixed martial arts or something. It's just like, if it had like much more specific, like, oh, I was like a watchmaker in like the 1800s or whatever. Now I can use that special skill now to like do something. I can defuse this bomb because I was like a watchsmith or like a minesweeper or something. More specific like skill stuff would have been fun. But yeah, I think Paramount Plus has definitely gotten I think they've kind of just given up on their original movies. It seems like there's like Scream's on here now, Jackass Forever's on here now. We're just gonna put our movies on here now. Like,
just dump all your movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I think right after that first week, there was no more talk about that.
No. I can't even imagine if this hit theaters. Like, I can't even imagine how much of a pop it would have been. Like, I think the budget was pretty big, because like, I mean, it doesn't look cheap. I mean, it looks like it was like a pretty big movie, but it's just, and it was supposed to hit theaters, and there was like, we're gonna put this on. It was like supposed to come on August 2020, and they're like, we'll put it out on Paramount Plus when it launches. It's fine. But yes, yeah, so that's what I've been seeing. That's what I'm watching this past week. So we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We have all of our usual stuff up there. And next week we're gonna have our next commentary, so you can check that out. And that'll be instead of a regular podcast, because we are going to be at PAX East next week. PAX East is back.
Yeah, baby.
So we'll be in Boston. Stay tuned to all of our social media for, you know, pics from the floor and other random things that happened during PAX East, and then check out next instead of a podcast. So, again, and head over to site for all the usual stuff that's up there. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you in 2 weeks. And when we're back from PAX East.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.